Welcome to the Be Moved and Bloom podcast. If you're ready to dive deep, find incredible inspiration, and let yourself bloom into who you're truly meant to be, you're in the right place. Here you'll find transformational stories, spiritual tools, and practical wisdom to help you be your best self. Get ready to be moved and bloom.
Hello, welcome back to Be Moved and Bloom. I am your host, Louise Holcomb. Today in this episode, I am quite excited because we're talking about a subject that I find so fascinating and that I really think the whole world needs to know about and understand more about because it affects absolutely everyone and everything. So today, we're talking about trauma. Well, specifically, I'm talking about some of the responses to trauma that show up in us, like some of the common responses. There's four kind of major categories of response that I'm going to be quoting. So I do want to give a little trigger warning to anyone listening to this episode. We're going to be discussing trauma. We're not really talking about like events in detail or anything like that, but you know, just the topic may bring up some stuff, so just to let you know, that's what's going down in this episode. And as well as just talking about, you know, how humans respond to trauma in the four kind of typical ways that we often do, I'm also going to talk about ways that we can regulate our nervous system in order to actually help to ease these responses that often we go into unintentionally, like unconsciously, through being triggered or being activated in some way, reminded of our past traumas. And we can work with these energies, we can work with our nervous system to ease it and to soothe it and to downregulate it if it is activated. So I'm going to be sharing all of the holistic ways that I practice myself and that I love to share with others about regulating the nervous system in this episode. So first things first, I got to give a lot of credit to somebody who I haven't even met, but whose work I follow very closely mainly on social media, mainly on Instagram, Dr. Nicole LaPera, or on Instagram, she is known as the .holistic.psychologist. And if you know me, if you know this podcast, you may be familiar with her work as well. She's incredibly active on Instagram and on her YouTube channel, and she just came out with a book earlier this year, I believe, called How to Do the Work. And her work is incredible. It's so insightful, and it's helped me so much. And she has absolutely no idea that I made this episode or dedicated it to her, but I wanted to, talk about the trauma response in the four kind of main categories that she brought up recently through some posts on Instagram, actually. And I just find it so incredibly helpful. It sounds kind of, almost sounds like ridiculous to like, that we live in this world where you can like follow a doctor on Instagram and find so much solace and recognition and community, but that's exactly what she's created, and that's exactly, you know, the world that we live in anyway. That's just how we operate now. Social media is a part of our lives, and it's an incredible tool for connecting and for sharing valuable, often valuable information. So I'm going to be talking about the four different trauma responses that Dr. Nicole laid out recently in some posts, and I just find it fascinating. And I hope you do too. And I hope it might resonate with some of you. I know I saw myself in a lot of these responses. So before we get into that, I do just want to share that, you know, like I said in a couple of previous episodes, and I say often, is that, you know, trauma affects every single one of us. No one's escaping it. Right, in this world, in this society that we live in, And trauma looks different for everybody, and also everybody responds differently to it. And the event, or you know, the thing that created the trauma or created the activated response to it is not what we're getting into today. But as important as it is to share and remember and find comfort in voicing our stories, particularly with certain types of trauma where you might feel like you've been silenced, or it's really, you know, often it's really difficult to talk about. And so I definitely encourage all of you, if you, you know, if you have something that you need to share with someone, definitely seek out a professional to share it with. For sure, you can't find everything on Instagram. But having said that, I hope that you enjoy learning with Dr. Nicole just as much as I do. So first of all, the fawn trauma response. So there are four that I'm going to speak to today. The fawn response, the flight response, the freeze response, and the fight response. So a lot of the time when we discuss trauma, we're talking about fight, flight, or freeze. And that is the evolutionary mechanism in us, in humans, and in all animals actually, or in for sure all mammals, that allows us to survive. It's our survival instinct. So when we experience a threat or a perceived threat, and that is really the kicker right there, but when we experience a threat, perceived or real, our nervous system goes into fight, flight, or freeze, typically as a response. And then also there is the fawn response, which is usually a later development to the traumatic event, whatever that was. Also, it could be chronic stress, it could be abuse, neglect, like all of these things create the same nervous system response. So first of all is the fawn response, the fawn trauma response, and I'm going to share ways that these responses show up in our lives, whether as children or as adults. These are some typical, you know, it's not a comprehensive list of behaviors. However, these are some of the typical responses that you'll see if you are in, you know, like if your nervous system is kind of trapped in the fawn trauma response. So those might show up as people pleasing. It might show up as going along with somebody else's perspectives or beliefs. And I'm reading these off of Dr. Nicole LePera's posts. So she is the one who wrote all this. But I find it just so helpful and fascinating that I had to share it. Another is dissociating, which means you're leaving your body mentally leaving your body, checking out or spacing out. Another response of the fawn trauma response is letting other people make decisions, avoiding any situation that could lead to conflict, fearing saying no, being overly polite and agreeable. And also the fawn trauma response might show up as being hyper aware of other people's emotions and needs while betraying your own. And these are, you know, I see myself in a lot of these, definitely with the spacing out response. These are all responses which are caused by that evolutionary autonomic nervous system, automatic, not thinking, just helping us survive mechanism that is part of our evolution. And so when that autonomic nervous system kicks in and decides this is the way that we're going to survive is by people pleasing, or is by shying away from conflict, or by, you know, fawning over a person, or allowing your own self to be put aside where other people's needs are put on a pedestal. These are all behavioral ways that show up as just that response of trying to survive, because our nervous system, it only helps, it helps with lots of things, but its only purpose is to, what's main, like, underlying purpose is to help us survive. That's it. By any means necessary, you know, depending on what the situation was, that was the response. The fawn response, you know, would show up. Say if you feel completely outnumbered by your opponent or something like that in a traumatic conflict situation. I'm just thinking out loud here, really, but you get the idea. So that is the fawn response and the behaviors. And I'm going to go through all of these main four typical responses and behaviors, and then I'll share some excellent ways that help to regulate the nervous system and soothe and move through and out of these behaviors. And I will say that, you know, none of these are like a wrong way to be. It's all down to our nervous system and our evolution, which is a miracle, helping us survive whatever we've been through. So, you know, as I'm reading them, as you're listening to them, if you hear something that sounds, you know, that hits home with you, just know that none of this is wrong or incorrect behavior. They just are. They're just there to be observed. And I feel like, indefinitely in my life and in my healing journey, that I feel like the more I learn about these things, the better I feel and the better I'm able to respond to them. Because the more information we have, you know, knowledge is power. But moving on to the freeze trauma response, like I said, it could have been any number of incidents or traumatic things that lead to these responses. It's different for every person, different in every situation, obviously. So keep that in mind as well as you're listening. Some of the typical ways that the freeze trauma response, some of the typical behaviors might be feeling completely numb or that life is pointless, shutting down with yourself and with other people, like giving the silent treatment or complete avoidance. The freeze trauma response might show up as hiding out from the world, just putting yourself away from everything and everyone. It might show up as procrastination or inability to even make small decisions, like that's overwhelming, it's too much. It might show up as endless social media scrolling or maybe binge TV watching, just kind of to zone out from the world. It might show up as confusion over what's real or unreal, or over what's real or what's unreal and actually happening. And the freeze trauma response, according to Dr. Nicole, is often confused or misdiagnosed with depression. So that's a whole big other topic that I don't feel fully qualified to speak to, as I'm not a mental health professional. But I know that in so many cases, trauma, maybe childhood trauma, maybe trauma that happened in adulthood, but traumatic incidences and the person's response to them is diagnosed as these conditions like depression or anxiety, things like that. You know, PTSD is a diagnosis that was only developed clinically in the 70s as a response to the Vietnam War. But obviously trauma's been happening forever since humans have been around. So that's a whole other topic really, but I thought that was interesting that the freeze trauma response can be actually confused with depression or, you know, part of depression. Some of these behaviors of the freeze trauma response are behaviors that you might expect somebody who's suffering with depression to display, you know. Like I said, I see myself in lots of these responses, so I found this really enlightening and interesting. Hopefully it's helpful for some of you too. So the flight trauma response, this might show up in behavior patterns of chronic rushing or always going, go, go, go. The flight response might show up as the person feeling uncomfortable or even feeling a sense of panic when still. It might show up as spending energy micromanaging people and situations around them. It might show up as having a history of abruptly ending relationships or being phobic of commitment. The flight response might show up as feeling trapped easily. It might show up as you making a plan to avoid any downtime or throwing yourself into work and high achieving. And it also might present as anxiety or panic attacks. And to be honest, to be very honest and open, this flight trauma response is the one that I actually see myself in all of these, almost all of these behaviors and responses. Yeah, isn't it interesting? My actual, like, when I feel triggered by whatever, like my worst feeling or my worst fear is feeling trapped. That to me sounds like the worst thing in the world. And so that one really hits home for me personally. And, you know, I'm reading all of these off, like I said, all these behaviors that, you know, are coming from a trauma response. And that means they're not coming from the prefrontal, the rational part of the brain. They're actually coming from the reptilian brain, really, the brainstem, which is only linked to our, like, its only concern is our survival and our basic needs being met. And so many of these behaviors, like when we show them, when we show these responses, which are a reaction to a trauma we've experienced, we're not in our rational brain. We're actually not being ourself. And, you know, we might feel like we're a split personality or feel like we're going crazy because how could I act that way? You know, I'm not like that, etc. And that really shows up, especially in the fight trauma response, which I'll speak to right now. So the fight response is some common ways that it shows up might be, you know, maybe you can guess, but a temper that is very explosive and unpredictable. It might show up as taunting, mocking, insulting, or shaming other people. It might show up as like a my way or the highway tendency, or a need to have the final say and ignore other people's perspectives. Displaying aggressive behavior like yelling, slamming doors, screaming, being aggressive. It might show up as someone easily becoming reactive, and they might confuse people with their big emotions. It might show up as a person always feeling like they're being threatened, and because of that, they will protect themselves at any cost. And the fight trauma response might also create feelings of shame and remorse post-outburst. So, like I said, this response is like the one that I find most easy to wrap my head around, the fact that it's really not coming from a place of that person. It's actually coming from that person's trauma. Their rational brain, the prefrontal cortex, shuts down when we're in a trauma response. And what happens is then we're just kind of literally taken over by these adopted behaviors that were adopted because it felt like that was the only option for our survival in the moment. So when we know that about ourselves, when we know that about someone else, I think it just helps to give so much more of a sense of compassion to that person, you know, and to ourselves, because we've all had trauma, we've all been through some shit. However it looks, whatever it looks like, we all experienced collective grief from COVID, for example, and, you know, we all had lives going on and traumas occurring before that as well. So there's so much that we are experiencing and that we are responding to. And if we're not aware of these trauma responses, then we can just live our whole lives getting triggered and acting out, completely not being our rational, true, loving selves. So, you know, that's really why I wanted to make this episode, is I just found Dr. Nicola Pereira's post so, like, spot on for naming these responses that really take us out from the present moment, is what's happening. They take us away from the present moment and they cause us to react to something that happened in the past, except we're reacting to something that happened in the past because of being triggered by something in the present. And then often, you know, the people around us would probably be very confused because it might seem like a completely irrational response, but the response, like the trauma response, is not rational because the rational part of the brain is shut down when we're in that triggered, activated state. So with all of these trauma responses, what's happening is our nervous system is dysregulated. When we're in a state of, you know, calm and balance, and we're feeling good, we're feeling joyful, feeling happy, our nervous system is pretty balanced, and there's two sides to the nervous system, which are the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. And, you know, usually they're working more or less in balance. I say usually. When we're in a state of homeostasis, like everything is good in our lives, we're not being threatened, we're not feeling activated, we're not feeling exhausted, we're just in a good place mentally, physically, emotionally, then our nervous system is pretty balanced. But if anything happens to dysregulate it, either one of those sides of it, the parasympathetic or the sympathetic, are going to be activated. And when that happens for too long, that activation of the nervous system, it can actually cause a lot of damage to the rest of our body, the rest of our health. So our physical health deteriorates the more that we are in that triggered or activated nervous system dysregulation. And when we're stressed, our nervous system is dysregulated. And given the prevalence of stress in our lives, you know, a lot of us are walking around with a dysregulated nervous system a lot of the time, if not all of the time. And so if we're not aware of it, first of all, we're causing ourselves a lot of damage with just how much it's affecting the rest of our body, because it's kind of like the brakes and the accelerator in a car being on at the same time. It's just kind of like stuck, but activated. And, you know, if that would happen in a car, it would really wear down the car and all of the insides of the engine pretty quick. It would cause a lot of damage. And that's basically what's happening within our nervous system when we are dysregulated for a long period of time, because it's natural for our nervous system to be activated in short bursts. That's how we survive. You know, that's how we really do run away from a threat or fight for our survival and then release that energy. Releasing emotions, releasing the energy that is surging through us when our nervous system is activated is crucial to actually healing from trauma. So these are, like I said, those are the four main trauma responses and the names that have been given to them in the world of psychology and brain studies, behavioral studies. Obviously, that's not an exhaustive list, like I said. Those were just some of the typical ways that those responses show up in our lives and in our behavior. And you might be wondering, well, okay, like, fuck, I'm in my trauma response a lot of the time. Like, I do a lot of those things. How am I meant to stop this? Well, I'm going to tell you. Because this is something that has changed my life so dramatically and so deeply that I want to share it with everyone. So, ways to regulate your nervous system. It's not easy exactly, but there are some simple ways to begin to regulate it. And like I said, everyone's different. Everyone has different preferences. Everyone has different things you will find that you love or things that you will find that you hate doing. So I'm just going to list off a bunch of ways that you can start to regulate your nervous system and choose whatever works for you. Choose a bunch of different ones and try them out and stick with at least one of them that works for you, because we all need these tools in our toolbox. This world is crazy. We need to help ourselves and we need to help each other. So some of the ways you might not be surprised to hear are yoga, specifically breath work, deep breathing. A breath work that I love to practice if I feel super stressed out is alternate nostril breathing, which helps to balance the left and the right hemispheres of the brain. And I do have a couple of videos on my Instagram, on my IGTV, where I go through a nice alternate nostril breathing practice. So you can check those out if you need some inspiration, or you can just Google it. If you want to do it along with the video, they're up on my Instagram. This is one of my favorite breathwork practices, my favorite pranayama practices. I learned it being called Anuloma Viloma. Some people call it Nadi Shodhana, or just in English, alternate nostril breathing. That's a very simple practice. Honestly, so many, if not all, breathwork practices do work on the nervous system and do help to regulate it. So there are lots of kind of activating and energizing breath works. There are also a lot of calming and soothing pranayama breath works, and it really depends what you need in the moment. But that is probably my like favorite go-to. Even something as simple as just taking a few long, deep breaths in through your nose, out through the mouth, or in through the nose, out through the nose if you prefer. But you know, if you're super stressed, it might just feel good to sigh it out of the mouth. So that's something you can do any time of the day, anytime you need it. Definitely all breathwork is incredible for regulating the nervous system. Another way is the actual physical practice of yoga, of postures, asana, as well as, I mean, I could talk about that so much. There's just so much information out there about yoga. And if you've never tried yoga of any kind, then don't worry. You can do yoga. Everyone can practice yoga. It's not just for a certain demographic or a certain level of flexibility. Like literally, if you can breathe, you can practice yoga. So you could always try that out at home or take a class. Even something as simple as finding, like, I love YouTube yoga. I still practice yoga from YouTube just because sometimes I want to be led and I don't want to have to think about what's next. So yeah, there's just like a million videos out there that you could try out, but I definitely recommend trying it out. Even something like gentle yoga, or you could search for yin or restorative yoga, particularly are extremely calming, soothing practices. Yin is a little more work than restorative, but all of them are very gentle and deliberately working on calming and soothing the nervous system as well as the internal organs, and just bringing the body to a place of relaxation and calm. So definitely try out some yoga if you don't practice already. Another way to regulate your nervous system is actually, well, there are many ways to help stimulate the vagus nerve, and that's spelled V-A-G-U-S, not Las Vegas, but the vagus nerve. One of those ways is chanting, so like mantra chanting anything really, or singing. And what this does, or even humming actually, so using your throat and your voice, what this does, it stimulates the vagus nerve, which is the longest nerve in the body that runs from the brain, actually from the brain stem, so like that reptilian part of the brain that is directly connected to our trauma response. It runs from there all the way through the torso, all the way through all of the internal organs, the heart and the gut, or the GI tract and all that. When the vagus nerve is strengthened through practices that stimulate it, like chanting, actually like yoga as well, and breath work, all of these practices help to strengthen the vagus nerve. And when the vagus nerve is strong and is healthy, and they call it when it's in tone, like when it's toned, kind of like a muscle, then our nervous system is much more healthy, much more regulated. We feel calmer, we feel happier. And, you know, those three things I just said, singing, breathing, like intentional breathing, and stretching and practicing yoga, you know, those three things, if you do them, if you've tried them, you know, they make you feel so good. Like you feel elated, you feel ecstatic sometimes. So that is in large part due to the way that those practices tone the vagus nerve and relax and regulate the nervous system. Even if it's just, you know, you don't have to be like chanting Sanskrit mantras, although if you've not done that, it's amazing. it's absolutely amazing. But you don't have to do that. If you think it's weird or whatever, you can like just put on your favorite song that you'd like to belt out and sing in your house, sing in the shower, sing into a pillow if you're worried about being loud. But yeah, sing in some way. Like, let that voice out. It's going to feel so good. And it's going to be so beneficial for your nervous system and to help you stay in the present moment and live, you know, the life led by you, not led by your response to things that happened in the past that you have you know, that happens within a split second. It's very difficult to stop ourselves mid-trauma response. So a better tactic is to create balance within the nervous system so it's less likely to pop off and get triggered. Some other ways to regulate the nervous system are either splashing your face with cold water, dunking your wrists in cold water, or going full out and having like a cold shower or even cold bath or even an ice bath after the initial shock, where you're, if you're just doing it on your face and on your wrists, things like that, you know, you're pretty much not going to go into full-blown fight or flight panic mode. But if you're taking a cold shower or even a cold rinse, you might get that panicky feeling when you turn to cold. And that is obviously, that's normal, that's part of our survival mechanism that we have as humans. And what you've got to do is just slow down your breathing while you're in it, and then eventually you'll get to a place where you can kind of handle the cold. Or you could even, you know, build it up super slow and try 10 seconds of cold. And yeah, build up from there. And again, there's so much written about this. There's so much information about the benefits of cold showers or of ice baths even. Recently, I did an ice bath, like I mentioned in the, I think it was episode 3, about female friendship. Oh, it was episode 4, about my experience at the Joshua Tree retreat that I went on. We all got in the ice bath, and when I was in it, completely felt the panic, the fight or flight. I was really struggling. My breathing wouldn't slow down. Like, I was in full-blown panic. But, like, with the guidance of the trained professional instructors, I was able to slow down my breathing, and once I got to the point, maybe a minute and a half of being in it, it felt like I could probably do it for longer, and my breathing had calmed down. And, you know, I'm not saying everyone jump in an ice bath, because, especially if you're not with someone who knows what they're doing with it, you know, you don't have to do that. But the point of doing all that is it helps to regulate the nervous system by, it's like you're physically regulating your nervous system by it not having any other choice. Like, you're in the cold, you've got to calm yourself down, essentially, to be able to stay in that cold water. And there's a million other health benefits as well. It reduces inflammation, which helps to reduce and prevent most diseases. Most diseases in our bodies are caused by inflammation. And so reducing inflammation obviously makes us way more healthy. It makes us feel more energized. It brings calm and also euphoria to the brain. It releases all these chemicals in the brain. You can read about it, you can Google it, because I don't know off the top of my head the many health benefits. But I do know that cold showers and, you know, ice baths or even splashing your face with cold water help to strengthen the vagus nerve again. So like we were talking about, it is part of what helps to tone and strengthen the vagus nerve, which sends that feeling of safety, first of all, relaxation, feeling safe, feeling okay, like feeling alive in our bodies, that helps to regulate the nervous system. All of these practices as well that I'm talking about, as well as, you know, regulating the nervous system, which we're talking about on this episode, they're also all practices that allow us to feel like we're in our body, so like we are embodied. And if you listened to the previous episode, you know I'm all about that. Embodiment is so key to healing and to living in general, because, you know, for example, with the flight response, the flight trauma response and the freeze response, we can dissociate, we can mentally check out of our bodies. And that's something that is in a threatening situation that could be very helpful for our survival. But in our day-to-day life, we don't want to be checked out. We don't want to be living in a fantasy world when stuff is happening in the present in front of us. Like, we need to be here and now in order to live a fulfilling and joyful and happy life. We need to find presence. So finding that embodiment, connecting to our true self rather than connecting to that trauma response, And really being present in our bodies is what is going to allow us to feel health, happiness, really freedom from being trapped in those cycles of trigger and response and trigger and response. And those are just a few ways that you can strengthen and regulate your nervous system. You can definitely Google how to regulate your nervous system for probably a much longer list, but those are my top ways that I use regularly, particularly yoga and meditation. I practice daily, which I didn't used to. I didn't used to be able to imagine a world where that would be me doing that, but here we are on that healing journey. And yeah, obviously it's revolutionized my life. That's why I wanted to share it with so many of you here. So these are just some ways you can definitely help to regulate your nervous system with certain foods, learning about what foods help you and your specific body and mind type, using the practice of Ayurveda. There's just so many, gosh, that we could talk about, but I'm going to keep it a bit more short and sweet on this one. I do want to let you know, if you want to learn more about healing from trauma, if you want to learn more about finding balance and regulating your nervous system with me, I'm opening up my online course, Heal Holistically, a course in transformational healing and growth. Very soon, it's going to be opening up for registration in a couple of weeks, and then we're going to begin the first week of October. And this is an 8-week transformational course which will truly revolutionize your life just as it has mine, because in this course I'm sharing from my heart, from my learnings, from my journey, every single one of the practices and tools and foods and everything. I'm sharing everything that I have used personally in order to change my life and heal from my trauma and grow as a person and manifest a beautiful life that I am glad to be living. And, you know, I wasn't always this way. Like, I have learned a lot on my journey, and I've distilled practices of yoga, of Ayurveda, meditation, breathwork, so much about foods, herbs. There's so much in this course that I personally practice every single day, and I'm sharing it with you, and we're going to go through it together as a live 8-week course. So there'll be live weekly calls with me. There's also yoga practices for every week. There's just so much in there. So like I said, the enrollment is going to open in just over a week, actually. And if you are interested and that sounds like something that you're like, yes, I need that in my life right now, I need a little reboot, going to make the rest of 2021 like the best 4 months of your life because of it, then if you're interested, just sign up for my email newsletter. That's the best way to be in the know with everything that I'm offering, because I share it there first. So you can just head to bemovedyoga.com and sign up for the newsletter at the end of the homepage, and you'll get all the info, all the sweet deals and everything that I'm sharing. Yeah, in the meantime, if you can't wait that long, don't worry, because I have a free offering, which I mentioned in the previous episode, called the 3-Day Embody Healing Experience. And we're going to be sharing a bunch of different ways to get into your body, out of your head, out of your trauma response, into your present moment, feeling fully alive and embodied. And it's going to be live every day for those 3 days, starting September 22nd. And for that, you can also go to bemovedyoga.com and sign up, or you can head to my Instagram, which is at bemovedyoga, and it's the link in my bio. So, like I said, if you even don't look at any of that stuff and you just take this episode to heart, you try out some of those practices that help to regulate the nervous system, like especially the breath work, try it out. It's life-changing. Also meditation. I don't know if I said that one, but that's obviously a huge one too. I hope you enjoyed this, and I want to thank Dr. Nicole LaPera for her incredible insight and wisdom, for sharing everything that she shares on her free channels. And If you don't follow her, definitely recommend checking her out as well. And I love you all so much, and I'm just grateful to be able to share some of the things that have helped me, and I hope that they help you too. So you have a beautiful rest of your day, and lots of love.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you heard this. To stay connected with me, head to bemovedyoga.com and sign up for my email list. I'm also bemovedyoga on Instagram. Catch up with you soon. Lots of love from Louise.